Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Tinka, tinka, tinka. Tinka, tinka, tinka. Sound check. Tinka, tinka.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today is the birthday of Blue Ivy Carter. Yep, the daughter of Jay-Z and Beyoncé turns 1 year old today. So, Irene, if you could kill our theme music for a bit, I want to wish Blue Ivy Carter a happy birthday. Happy
Wait! John! John! Stop singing that song!
What?
You can't sing that song on the air.
What, happy birthday to you?
John, did you forget that song is protected still by copyright?
Oh, I do keep forgetting that. God, so we have to pay royalties if we sing it on the air.
Yeah, and due to a strange arrangement with the Soundcheck brass, it comes directly out of my paycheck.
Now, wait a minute. Is that why when I had my birthday just before Christmas, is that why you all sang For He's a Jolly Good Fellow to me instead of Happy Birthday?
Well, can't be too careful, John.
Crazy. All right, well, happy unmusical birthday, Blue Ivy Carter. Maybe we can find another song to sing at birthday parties that won't cost us anything. In fact, later in the show, you'll meet some folks who are trying to do just that. The search for an alternative birthday song is coming up. But first, do you know this song?
There were sounds in my head. A little voice is whispering. I should go and this should end. Oh, when I found myself listening.
A couple of years ago, during the heyday of TV dramas like Grey's Anatomy, One Tree Hill, and Friday Night Lights, you might have watched your favorite fictional characters doing something appropriately dramatic to this song. It's called Where I Stood, and it was so popular on American TV for a while that it helped the Australian singer-songwriter Missy Higgins break into the American market. The song even wound up on the adult contemporary charts. But not long after finding stateside success, Missy Higgins announced that she was leaving the music biz. For a while, at least. Missy Higgins returned this past summer with a new album called The Old Razzle Dazzle. And in June, she joined us here in the Soundcheck studio to play some of it for us, including this song called Hello, Hello.
I would have gone with you that night if you'd have asked me, and I wouldn't have left your side, but you marched into the rain, stopping as a child. Well, right here I stay. Is anybody there? Your disappearing act is getting harder to bear. Hello, hello, when you gonna see? You have to take me with you if you don't wanna lose me. Oh, you know I'd fight, dagger in hand, beside you if only I knew what you're battling. But you crawled out of the dark into my sunshine, and I don't dare ask. Hello, hello, is anybody there? Your disappearing act is getting harder to bear. Hello, hello, oh, when you gonna see? You have to take me with you if you don't wanna lose me. Promise I don't scare easy. Ain't much I haven't seen. Hello, hello, is anybody there? Your disappearing act is getting harder to bear. Hello, hello,
And that is Missy Higgins, live on Soundcheck, the Australian singer, songwriter, and pianist, with a tune called Hello, Hello. Hello, Missy.
Hello.
Normally, I'm not at a loss for questions, but I am going to give the first question today to one of our listeners. Emma Yamada sent us this tweet. Do women often faint when you sing Night Mines, or was that a first last night at your concert at Le Poisson Rouge?
I didn't actually realize that anyone fainted. Maybe it happens all the time, and I just don't realize it.
So there was some excitement in the air
there at LPR
last night. How does it feel to be back in New York, you know, playing music, new album in tow?
It feels really great, actually. I took a few years off because I kind of got a bit burnt out, and I didn't really know what I wanted to say yet with my music for my third album. So I just, I walked away from music for a while, and I kind of made my way back to it naturally. And I'm so glad that I did take that time because, it's really great to be playing again and having new songs to play. Mm-hmm. And
was it a matter of, you know, just wanting to get away from the touring and the interviews and things like that, or was the songwriting not happening? What was it?
It was a bit of everything. I think I'd been away from home for so long. Like I moved to LA to really try and push that my second album, and where I stood, that kind of started taking off, but really slowly. So the touring just went, for a couple of years. And at the end of it, I just realized that I'd kind of pushed myself a bit too far. And I just really missed spending time at home with my family and friends. And the songwriting was, I was really struggling with that. Like for about a year, I went to a studio every day and I tried to write, and it really wouldn't come. So I thought, this is a sign. I should just try something else with my life, maybe. Mm-hmm.
So what'd you do?
I went to university. I studied Indigenous Australian culture, which was really interesting. And I did a bit of traveling. I went to my friend Ben Lee's wedding in India, and after that, I decided to do some traveling over there by myself. So I met a few people, and it was a really amazing experience. Mm-hmm. I spent time at home. I lived in a big share house with a heap of friends, and kind of just had fun doing
the student
normal
life.
Stuff. Yeah. The student life, I
guess. You share a house with too many people. You go to school.
Yeah, exactly.
So then what brought you back to music?
I hadn't played in a couple of years, and I'd said to my manager, don't tell me about any shows. I need to walk away from this. So after a couple of years, he sent me an email just saying, I know you probably don't want to know about this, but you've been offered Lilith Fair, Sarah McLachlan's mm-hmm. all-female tour in the States. And I was a huge Sarah McLachlan fan when I was just starting out songwriting, and she was a big influence on me. And I always just used to hear about Lilith Fair and think, God, that's so cool. I wish that I could, go or be involved. So it was one of those things that I just couldn't pass up. So I went, I came over to the States and I did a few shows for that. And I just loved it. I'd forgotten how much I loved performing, and so many of my fans came out to the show and showed their support. And I was just really humbled by it. And I thought, God, I'm so lucky to be able to do this. And yeah, I just started getting inspired again to make a third album,
And so you have, called The Old Razzle Dazzle. We're speaking with Missy Higgins, the Australian singer and songwriter. Of course, here in the States, a lot of us came to know your songs through various uses on TV, in TV shows. Have you seen all of the episodes that your music is used in?
I don't think so, actually. I saw the Grey's Anatomy one. That was funny because, it wasn't funny, but it was amazing that they chose my song for it because it was this really kind of gory scene where an ambulance vehicle had been overturned and some guy was impaled on something sharp and was hanging upside down, dying, basically.
To your song.
To my song. And I was like, wow, what, what made them choose this? But it was quite moving.
Were you okay with this guy
slowly dying while your music plays under the scene?
Well, I think because what happened was Meredith crawled in like a broken window and said to him...
Meredith being the lead character.
The lead, that girl. She was like, you know, your wife's... I can't remember what it was, but it was something to do with, you know, just hang in there. I'm gonna get your wife to come and say goodbye, or I can't remember. But there was some sort of relationship drama going on while he was bleeding to death. I was okay with it.
Okay. Have you seen any where you were just like, I wish I'd seen that before I okayed the song?
No, not really.
Okay.
There was one show that. One Tree Hill.
Yeah.
That used the song in a really great way. I think one of the characters was engaged to another character, and then she left him, or he left her. I can't remember. But whatever it was the kind of thing that I wrote the song about. You know, like having to leave someone despite loving them so much, but knowing that it was the right thing to move on. So that was kind of nice, actually, seeing the song in a really appropriate kind of scenario, which doesn't happen very often.
Do they generally show you the scene or tell you about it before they ask permission to use the song, or they just
I get usually a very small little paragraph about what kind of scene they're going to use it in.
Right.
But, it was used on So You Think You Can Dance, too, which was great. That got a lot. I've never watched it before, but it got so many hits on iTunes afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wow, that show is crazy popular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And nobody dies by impalement in an ambulance
Exactly. So. It's just dancing.
Missy Higgins is with us in the Soundcheck studio. You want to do another song from the new record?
Yeah, sure.
This one, Set Me on Fire?
Set Me on Fire, yeah. This is a song I wrote in New York, actually. When I subletted a place in Brooklyn, and I decided I wanted to write a song about having writer's block.
All right. It's Missy Higgins with us live on Soundcheck.
Got a lot to say, I just don't know how to say it. I know all the rules, I just can't seem to play it. You can tick the boxes, follow the equation, but the knife won't budge until you learn patience. I got notes to sing, I just can't reach the words. They're out on a ledge in the dark with the birds, but I'm trying to find them inside of you. Take my brain and break it in two. Melody, you're the only one who saves me. Out of the cold, you take me and set me on fire. Set me on fire, Melody. All I want is to remember what came before this winter. Set me on fire. Set me on fire. I got a rock between my heart and my mouth. I know how it got there, but I can't pull it out. And the bones that once moved my fingers over keys are protesting in a fist on my knees. Gotta find a way to unzip my skin, cause this is as strange as I'm living in. Melody, you're the only one who saves me. Out of the cold you take me and send me on fire, set me on fire, Melody. All I want is to remember what came before this winter. Set me on fire, set me on fire. Melody, you're the only one who says set me on fire, melody. All I want is to remember what came before the winter. Set me on fire, save me, set me on fire, melody.
From Australia, Missy Higgins at our piano and her song Set Me on Fire, written, as she told us before playing it, while subletting a place in Brooklyn here.
Yeah.
How weird is that to be, I mean, in Brooklyn you can sort of walk down the street more or less anonymous, I suppose, whereas back home in Australia, maybe that sort of thing isn't so possible for you.
Yeah, it was actually the reason why I wanted to write this album in the States, because I knew that I had a heap of friends over here that I could, you know, I could mind their house while they were away, or stay in their guest bedroom, or you know, basically stay different places for free. And also, you know, it's great to be able to be anonymous and observe and people watch and that kind of thing, because that's really, you know, what inspires a lot of my songs.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there was this place in Sunset Park actually that I subletted for a while, and I used to go to the park and just watch all the Mexican families having their birthday parties, and the Chinese ladies do their
Tai Chi,
and it was so beautiful. And yeah, that song I just kind of sat down one day and just wrote a whole lot of lyrics about exactly, you know, the kind of writer's block that I had been through, and how important music was to me, and how ultimately I felt like it was the only thing that could save me, but it was kind of this elusive thing that I couldn't seem to grab.
So when you were having trouble writing it, what were you listening to? What kind of music, you know, actually got you through that period?
Well, instrumental music, actually. Yeah, a lot of kind of very minimalist,
Philip,
you know,
Glass.
Like, yeah, Philip Glass and Arvo Part, and I was really into kind of John Hopkins, and a lot of stuff that didn't have lyrics, because lyrics were the thing that was where my blockage was.
Mm-hmm.
Like I really didn't, I didn't know what I wanted to say, and it had a lot of anxiety for me, you know, the idea of having to, I don't know, express myself. It was strange. So, yeah, instrumental music was the thing that really calmed me down, and that was kind of where my head was at.
Did you, by any chance, listen to Philip Glass's etudes, his piano etudes?
Oh, yeah, that's what I was listening to.
Yeah, because, I mean, there were moments in both songs, in Hello, Hello, a brief thing at the upper end of the keyboard, and the sort exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And in this song, it Set Me on Fire, the little dramatic, you know, sudden down at the left, the bass end, and then up.
Yeah, I was definitely inspired by that. Yeah, that kind of the loopy, monotonous nature of his music, because it kind of it's I don't know, it's
monotonous in a good way, you mean, right?
Yeah, yes, exactly. I actually do. Like, there's something really calming about that monotony. Yeah. Like, it's kind of like driving music or something.
Now, let me ask you about the album title, The Old Razzle Dazzle. That's a very American-sounding title for an Australian, especially. Where's that come from?
It's kind of tongue-in-cheek and kind of ironic, I guess, the title, because, you know, there's something about the razzle-dazzle side of the industry that's never really sat with me. And, you know, there's a lot of songs on this album that do kind of deal with that inner conflict of mine, and how I was just trying to find a way to do it in my way.
Mm-hmm.
And so this album is really like a kind of a processing of all of those thoughts and that conflict, and try to reconcile the two parts of my lives, and find happiness in between.
Mm-hmm. So the old razzle dazzle, as you say, kind of an ironic title. Was much of the album done here in the States?
A lot of it was, yeah. I did write most of the songs over here. And I actually, at Lilith Fair, I met Butterfly Boucher, who is an incredible singer-songwriter herself. She's from Australia, but she's living in Nashville now. And we made friends, and I asked her if she wanted to try some songwriting with me. So she said yes, and I went down to Nashville to do that with her. Mm. And she ended up co-producing the album. And yeah, just being a big influence on me. So I ended up spending a lot of time in Nashville and writing a few songs there and recording there. So
it's what people do in Nashville, apparently.
Yeah,
lots of songwriting going on there. So where are you now? Are you back in Melbourne, or are you still?
I am. Yeah, I'm officially in Melbourne, although I'm. My heart is on the road.
And right now, Missy Higgins is here in our New York studio on Soundcheck. How about another song?
Sure. I'll play you a song called Everyone's Waiting from the new album.
I know all the lines to say, the part I'm expected to play, but in the reflection I am worlds away. As I put my costume on, all ashes one by one. Been doing this so long, I could tie the knot behind my back. And everyone's waiting, but it's getting harder to hear when my heart is everyone's waiting. Just swallow and breathe, she says. Remember, this ain't for you, it's for them. And all of those painful lessons you've had to learn, you gotta use them now or never. 'Cause everyone's waiting, but it's getting harder to heal when my heart keeps saying, turn it off, I wanna turn it all waiting.
Once again, Missy Higgins, live in the Soundcheck studio, playing her song Everyone's Waiting. The new album's called The Old Razzle Dazzle, her third, although probably only the second to be... Was your first album ever released here in the States, or no?
It was, yeah, okay. But it didn't do very well.
Okay. The second one obviously did much better with all the TV exposure, and now the new one called The Old Razzle Dazzle. We started off with a question from Twitter, and I want to go back to Twitter because you recently tweeted about a book you just finished reading by Madeline Miller, The Song of Achilles.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So
it's a great book.
Do you read a lot when you're on tour?
I do, yeah. As soon as I finished that book, actually, I found myself without a book. And I was in Nashville, and I didn't know where the nearest bookstore was, and I was completely lost. So I went out and I bought a Kindle. I thought, I'm never going to be without a book again. I don't know. I've downloaded a few books onto my Kindle because that's the good thing about it. You can test all these ones out. So I've downloaded the Game of Thrones books as well.
All seven of them?
No, just the first couple.
Okay.
You can download like 1,000 onto your Kindle. It's ridiculous.
All right. So you've got a few more to go then.
I do, yes.
Missy Higgins has been with us on Soundcheck. The album's called The Old Razzle Dazzle. Missy, it's been a pleasure having you with us.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
This is Soundcheck.
Told her when she played, wings sprouted from her shoulder blades, and every bone inside her seemed to change. So on her fingers moved over notes she held with soothe, his jagged soul caressing every groove. Oh, and how she longed to say that she'd missed his troubled ways. Oh, when if she could, she'd do it all again.
Coming up, the quest sometimes to create a new song to be sung when you wish someone a happy birthday. And later, four artists on Soundcheck's Live Music Radar, better known as the Gig Alert. And tomorrow on the show...
Now quick the night draws near.
Tune in for a performance by the indie rock band Dirty Projectors. They'll play a special unplugged session live in our studio. Dirty Projectors, tomorrow night at 9 on Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. I think we all know the words that go to this song. Happy birthday to you. But it might surprise you to learn that if you decide to sing this in a movie, or at a restaurant, or even in a park, you'd be expected to pay for it. That's why the Free Music Archive is hosting a contest to find a new song for birthdays, one that anyone could sing for free. Joining me here in our studio right now is Ken Friedman, founder of the Free Music Archive. You may also know Ken as general manager of the independent radio station WFMU. Hi, Ken.
Hey, John.
So what's the idea behind this contest?
The idea is a modest one. It's try to outdo the most recognized song in the history of human culture.
That's all.
That's all, yeah.
But also to do it for free.
Yeah.
So there is a copyright, copyleft, Creative Commons kind of thing at work here, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a really fascinating history, the story of Happy Birthday. And it is a great way to talk about public domain and alternative copyrights and copyright terms without getting completely mired down in the legalese.
Right.
And it's just fun to have people try to write a new version of Happy Birthday to you, which people in television and movies and Broadway have been doing for decades already, which is how it got my attention.
And they've been doing it specifically to avoid having to pay the copyright
on
Happy Birthday to You?
Currently, the going rate for a movie is about $10,000, and there have been a lot of cases. There was a great civil rights documentary, Eye on the Prize, that wasn't released for many years because of licensing disputes, including Happy Birthday to You. There was a scene of it being sung to Reverend King.
Right. So it wasn't even a public performance. It was a private—it was like, you are allowed to sing Happy Birthday to your family and friends and not have to pay for it.
Yes, to your family and friends.
But if someone is filming it and that film happens to get put into a documentary, then you're liable for the fee.
Right, then you have to pay the licensing.
So TV and film companies have been coming up with alternatives to the Happy Birthday song for a long time, as Ken says. Here are a couple of examples that the Free Music Archive has put together.
We baked you a birthday cake. If you get it to me, eh? And you moan and groan and woe, don't forget we told you so.
Happy birthday!
What day is today? It's Nibbler's birthday. What a day for a birthday. Let's all have some cake.
I don't know what I've been told.
Someone here is getting old.
Good news is dessert is free.
Bad news is we sing off-key.
Happy birthday to you!
All right, a little bit of the Three Stooges, then the animated show Futurama, a melody that is clearly riffing on the Happy Birthday
tune. Yeah, it's
pretty
close.
And then an excerpt from the 2005 movie called Waiting. Once again, Ken Friedman, founder of the Free Music Archive. Just quickly, Creative Commons, what is that? What does that term refer to?
It's an alternate copyright. It sometimes is described as some rights reserved instead of all rights reserved. So copyright's so complicated. There's so many different rights involved. So Creative Commons creates different possibilities for having flexible and alternative rights.
So in your contest to find a new song that people can sing at birthday time for free, Creative Commons would allow these bands, these composers, anyone submitting a song to do that, to make it free to the public to sing.
Well, yeah, we're using one particular Creative Commons license, which is the comparable public domain license.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very close to what we would consider public domain.
All right, at this point, it might be a good idea for us to bring in Mako Hill. He's a PhD candidate and researcher at MIT and the founder of the blog Copyrighteous. Hi, Mako.
Hello.
So what's up with the birthday song? It's an old melody, but as a song, as a copywritten song, how far back does it go?
So the melody goes back to 1893. It was originally sort of released as a song, Good Morning to All. It's the same melody, but, you know, had the lyrics, Good Morning to All, instead. The history is actually a little bit complicated, and there's some contested pieces of it. But I think that the sort of accepted story is that the Happy Birthday song was sort of published and copyrighted in 1935 by a woman named Jessica Hill and published by the Clayton Summey Publishing Company. And it should have expired in 1991, but through a combination of a series of sort of retroactive extensions of the copyright law over the 20th century, it's now not due to fall into the public domain until 2030. And through a series of sort of chain of purchases, it now actually lies in the hands of the Time Warner Company.
All right. So it was originally copyrighted, you're saying, Mako, in the 30s by this woman who, if I'm not mistaken, was a sister to the two sisters who wrote the original tune, is that right? She was somehow related to them?
I think that that's right.
Yeah. But now it's through a series, as you say, of takeovers and stuff. It's Warner Brothers who owns the copyright. So how much money are they making off this little ditty?
Somewhere in the range of about $2 million a year.
And they could probably be making even more, I suppose, because there's probably a lot of people out there who don't realize the song is copywritten.
That's absolutely correct. And especially because the situations in which you have to pay are not only, you know, these sort of these contexts in which there's a direct commercial advantage, like, for example, making a film, but also sort of this idea of indirect commercial advantage, which is to say, if you're singing in a restaurant or at a camp or at another venue, which is benefiting indirectly from the fact that people are singing the song, that constitutes a situation in which people should have to pay as well.
Right. And this brings us to your Unhappy Birthday Project, a website that you came up with a few years ago. And I'm going to read a little bit of it for our listeners. If you have seen someone singing Happy Birthday in a restaurant, a park, or at a school, you should tell ASCAP so that they can arrange for a license. If you are an offender, you should apologize and offer to pay whatever is due, a nickel, a quarter, a dollar, whatever ASCAP demands. There is an overwhelming amount of copyright infringement of Happy Birthday. Let's write the balance and tell ASCAP about every one of these violations. You were being satirical, but... and Ken obviously gets that because he's here in the studio laughing with me, but... people did not understand the satire here, did they?
No. I continue to get email almost every week from people who are pretty unhappy with me for essentially, you know, running what they see as a crusade against people trying to have a little bit of family fun, you know, honoring someone on their birthday.
Mm-hmm. So simply by stating the facts in as kind of basic a way and as legally accurate a way as you could, you thought you could sort of make the case that this is a ludicrous situation.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I think it's actually even more ludicrous than Mako is saying, because it's not a question of copyright terms. This is a glaring example of something that existed as a folk melody in the public domain and was snatched out of the public domain and put under copyright. The six-note melody of Happy Birthday to You actually goes back to at least 1850. And there was a whole range of generic greeting songs.
Mm-hmm.
Happy new, good New Year's to you. Good greetings to all. And I think somebody named Horace Waters actually published some of these. But from 1850 on, there were a whole series of the exact same melody, generic greetings that got applied to all different situations. The Hill Sisters did apply it to their kindergarten classroom. And then it evolved. There's no question that it evolved in that classroom to Happy Birthday to You, but there's no evidence that the Hill Sisters wrote it
mm-hmm.
at all.
All right, so it is a rather twisted tale and lots of claims and counterclaims. The idea that a song could have been public domain and then get taken back and brought back under copyright is a really kind of unusual one.
It's actually not unusual. It's actually, that's the problem, and that's why I find this so interesting, is that it is actually very common.
Really?
Yeah.
What else has,
Well, you could look at any number of Walt Disney movies, Disney animations that took Grimm's fairy tales and took old folk tales that were essentially public domain plot lines and put them under copyright and then defended them vigorously.
Yeah. I mean, that seems like a different case because there you're making art has always been a kind of regenerative and a sampling kind of experience.
Exactly.
And the idea of taking something old, making a new work of it, copywriting the new work, I mean, that's sort of par for the course. But this is, as you say, this is a melody that had been around. We still sing, you know, kids still sing, good morning to you, good morning, dear teacher, good morning to you. That's not copyrighted, is it?
Mako might know. I don't believe that Good Morning to You is copyrighted.
So if you sing the wrong words,
right,
that's when Warner Brothers will come with their palms out and say, you owe us money.
Yes. In fact, there have been movies and Broadway plays where the lyrics to Happy Birthday to You were spoken instead of sung to avoid the licensing.
Wow. All right. So, Ken, so we come back to the idea of alternatives. Songs through this free music archive contest that would be available to people to sing at birthday time without having to pay royalties. How many? The contest goes till January 13th, and Soundcheck listeners, you can submit your Creative Commons licensed alternative to Happy Birthday to the new Happy Birthday Song Contest until midnight on January 13th. The link is on our website, soundcheck.org. You are one of the judges of this contest, right?
I am, yes.
So you have not heard any of what we're about to hear.
That's true. I have not heard any of the entries yet. I kind of wanted to wait until after the deadline, but play me what you will, because it's, okay, it's all available to the public already.
All right. So here are a couple of the submissions in the Alternative Happy Birthday Song Contest. This first one comes from Monk Turner and Fashionoma.
It's your birthday. Happy birthday. It's your birthday. Happy birthday. It's a great day. That's what we say. Happy birthday to you.
It's your birthday. That's Monk Turner and Fashionoma's entry in the Alternative Happy Birthday Contest. From Guillaume Tucker, this one's called Many Happy Returns. So Ken Friedman, founder of the Free Music Archive, which is putting on this contest only slightly tongue-in-cheek, what makes a good birthday song, Ken?
Well, I think that it has to be very, very simple. The original Happy Birthday to You, which again is the most recognized song on planet Earth probably, is only six notes and four verses. So I think simplicity is essential. But the fact that Happy Birthday to You did become such a hugely popular song also is part of the unexplainable phenomenon of virality or hit records. I mean, in a way, it's the most viral phenomenon ever in the musical world.
And certainly in the English language, you know, it's a melody that wherever people speak English, they sing this song. Is it sung in other languages as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, the song that we use to learn the alphabet. And to sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, and to sing Baa Baa Black Sheep. And in France, it's a folk song. And in Germany, it's a Christmas tune. You know, that melody, A vous diriger maman, is also like a global thing. And the idea of someone taking that and copywriting it is just like crazy.
Yeah.
And yet it has happened.
Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star was written by Mozart, right? And it is in the public domain because it was written before a certain point in time.
Well, and he got it from variations on this French folk song. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we don't know who wrote it. We just know that Mozart wrote those variations on it. All right. So another alternative from a big band in Brooklyn called the Pendulum Swings. This is It Must Be Somebody's Birthday.
Must be somebody's birthday, and I think you know by now. If you're not doing what you want to do, perhaps someday you shall. It must be somebody's birthday, you can almost guarantee. Just believe in what you do, and on that we can agree. Today is somebody's birthday, and I think you know by now. If you're not doing what you want to do, perhaps someday you shall. It must be somebody's birthday, you can almost guarantee. Just believe in what you do, and on that we can.
It must be somebody's birthday, the entry from The Pendulum Swings. And also from Brooklyn, Broke MC is a Bushwick musician with Happy Birthday, It's Your Day.
Happy birthday, it's your day. Light the candles, make a wish. All your here to say happy birthday, it's your day. 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 Your
that's Broke MC. Happy birthday, it's your day. I like that. But Ken, I asked you before what makes a good birthday song. You said simplicity. It also has to be something a bunch of people can like pick up really quick and sing along.
It has to be catchy. It has to be completely non-offensive. I think it has to be completely free of attitude. And I also wanted to encourage Soundcheck listeners to go and check out the site even if they're not musicians, because a lot of what has been submitted are what are called in the remix community as stems. People are writing melodies without lyrics. People are writing lyrics without melodies. People are inputting suggestions, saying, here's a great old public domain melody, the song of the Volga Boatman, and here are some sample lyrics that you could do with it. So there are ideas and stems and parts of songs that are being submitted, as well as full-blown originals, as you've been playing.
Let's bring Mako back in. Mako Hill, founder of the blog Copyrighteous. Mako, in the world of copyright, things like parody are protected. You can sort of do parodies without, you know, being liable for royalties, for royalty payments and stuff like that. Is it, I mean, if you sing Happy Birthday in a kind of snotty way, will that get you off the hook? I mean, how do we get around this other than picking one of Ken's contest winners?
Well, I mean, it's a difficult situation, because although it's true that certain types of parody can be protected, very often determining what constitutes sort of a legitimate parody is something that you don't know until, you know, you have someone sues you and you take it to court, and the judge tells you after, you know, some number of years in many cases, and very often an enormous amount of money, that in fact what you were doing was okay after all, or that it wasn't. And so even just the risk of having to go and argue these sorts of things is enough to sort of deter, to chill, in the way a lot of people talk about this, the speech in the very first place.
So because the copyright to Happy Birthday is owned by Warner Brothers, which has a large budget and an army of legal experts, they can make it, even if you are in the right, they can make it practically, you know, in a very practical sense, impossible for you to pursue that, because it would just be too expensive.
That's right. And if you were doing something like making a film, then you have to convince your funders and your insurers, who are very risk adverse, that in fact you can, you know, win the case if it gets to that point. And very often that's a prohibitively difficult challenge. You never get the opportunity to do that.
So Ken,
try.
I mean, is it really possible for us at this point to find another birthday song?
I don't think it's possible to find one that will be more popular than Happy Birthday to You. But I'm really not sure what's going to happen with the contest. That's the three winners of the contest. What they're actually winning is our attempt to popularize the song.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than giving out a physical item, what we are actually going to do is send out these three winners to different media institutions, filmmakers, radio stations, TV stations, music journalists, and say, here are three alternatives to Happy Birthday to You that are free for use and are in the public domain.
And Stevie Wonder did something like this many years ago. Back in 1981, he wrote a song to promote the idea of a national holiday in honor of Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. So he wrote this song called Happy Birthday, and it seems like an appropriate thing to end with. We've been speaking with Ken Friedman. He's the founder of the Free Music Archive, and you can submit your Creative Commons licensed alternative to Happy Birthday to their contest up until midnight of January 13th. You can find a link on our website at soundcheck.org. Mako Hill's been with us on the line, founder of the blog Copyrighteous as well. Ken, Mako, to both of you, thanks for being with us on Soundcheck.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for having us.
And I'm sure you would agree, what could fit more perfectly than to have a world party on the day you came to be? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Four upcoming concerts that we think you'll like, plus a song download for each of them, coming up next as we round up this week's Gig Alerts on Soundcheck.
Listen.
Soundcheck.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. It's Monday, which means it's time to start making your live music plans for the rest of the week. We know you're busy, and the concert calendar can be overwhelming, but have no fear. That's why we have the Gig Alerts. Every day on soundcheck.org, we feature an artist with an upcoming show in New York that we think you'll like, and we post an MP3 from that artist so you can try them out and add them to your library. Here are the folks we picked this week. Remember, you can download a song from each of these artists by going to soundcheck.org and clicking on Gig Alert. First up is Allison Greenfield. She's the founder of the female-focused Tinderbox Music Festival here in New York, but she's also a songwriter and performer herself. Her songs draw on the worlds of pop, hip-hop, and electronica, sometimes all at once. That's Understand the Sky by Allison Greenfield. She plays at the Knitting Factory tomorrow night, Tuesday. On Wednesday, at the Mercury Lounge, you can catch this band, Mary C. and the Stellars. That's Mary C. and the Stellars, and in an age of modern British singers like Adele and Joss Stone, Mary C. is reminding us that soul music actually started right here in the USA. Again, if you want to catch them, they're playing at Mercury Lounge on Wednesday night. Now, this is Renaissance man Ed Podikar. He has designed furniture, custom-built instruments. He's custom-built homes. He wrote the theme music for MTV's Unplugged. One of the instruments he invented is this triple-necked slide guitar-y thing that you're hearing in the background called a trilele. Podikar's latest exhibition is called Soundwall, and it will feature several of his sculptures that double as musical instruments. Thank you.
That's Ed Podikar with Jerry's Trileal. He'll unveil a new series of sound sculptures at the John Houshman Showroom in Soho on Thursday. So, not quite a concert, but still a gig alert. We're going to leave you tonight with A Tribe Called Red. They're a Native American DJ crew from Canada that creates electronic dance music out of traditional powwow chants. The track is called Electric Powwow Drum by A Tribe Called Red. The band plays Webster Hall as part of Global Fest, the 10th annual Global Fest, on Sunday night. Remember, you can download this song and all of tonight's Gig Alerts, along with hundreds of other MP3s, for free, by just clicking on Gig Alerts at soundcheck.org. That does it for the show tonight. Tomorrow, the Brooklyn indie rock band Dirty Projectors just wrapped up a big year, which included their acclaimed album called Swing Low Magellan. They're kicking off the new year with a performance at Carnegie Hall on Friday. But before that, Dirty Projectors will play here in our studio. Plus, revisiting harsh music reviews of albums that went on to become classics. See you back here for all of that tomorrow night at 9. Until then, check us out online at soundcheck.org and on Facebook and Twitter. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer.